Blog Talk Radio.
To get to today. I'm going to get to Donald Trump in a second. Oh, no. No, America. Please tell me you didn't do it. Oh, they did it. They did it. Then we have news all over the map today. U.S. and Cuba have finalized an agreement to reopen embassies in each other's capitals. So, yay for sanity. We'll discuss that. We also have the White House coming out against a provision in the TPA. You know when would have been a good time to say that? Before you were pushing for the TPA and before you got it. That would have been a great time to discuss it. But no, they waited until afterwards so that they could Monday morning quarterback and say, oh, we totally don't like that part, man. If only we could have done something about it. Also, we have Wisconsin Republican Glenn Grothman totally doesn't understand the history of the Civil War, and he takes it to a comical level. We'll discuss that later on. Republicans are now also just making shit up about what's going to happen since we have gay marriage. That should come as a surprise to nobody. But actually, the extent to which this Republican makes something up, it's immeasurable. I mean, it takes balls to be as off base and as loud about it as this guy is. So we'll discuss that. I don't want to give away who it is right now. Then I got a whole bunch of later on, man. I got to put on my religion mocking hat because I got it from all sides. We got crazy Muslims. We got crazy Christians. We got all types of religious fundamentalists giving me a headache today. And a story later on porn addiction, study out. Is it real? Is it fake? What is it exactly? We'll tell you what the results of that study are. All right, so let's go ahead and get started here. And I want to kick it off with something we should all be depressed by. Say it ain't so, America. They did it. I can't believe they did it, but they did it. Donald Trump is now one of the front runners in a large national poll. Oh. Oh. What has become of us? We went from Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, to this. Huffington Post reports, quote, "He told us it was going to be huge, truly one of the biggest ever. And now Donald Trump has some polling data to back him up. He announced his campaign for president in June, and he's surging in a national and early primary poll. Trump placed second in a national CNN poll released Wednesday, with 12% of GOP primary voters saying they were most likely to support him in 2016. In fact, he outranked every other candidate in the crowded Republican field, except for former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, who garnered 19%. Think about that, man. Think about that. Number one in the poll is the brother of the last shitty, terrible president from the dynasty family. We got that going for us. And then number two is the buffoon who goes on TV and says, "You're fired." He's the buffoon who thinks, "I got the super-de-duper-de best plan ever to defeat ISIS. It involves us beating them. That's why you should vote for me. I'll take them out and I'll hit them so hard and so fast they won't even know what happened." He's number two. He's number two in the country. Number two in the country. Oh, God. Oh, God. I feel like I'm having an aneurysm. No, I look, man. I mean, you guys already know that this is my belief anyway, but can I get an amen from everybody now that we can put the issue to rest? There really is no more debate as to which party is struggling in the intellect department. It, fucking Donald, a guy who's a buffoon, a guy who's honestly an embarrassment to the country. He's number two in the Republican primary, number two. And they go on to give more details in the article here. They talk about how if you look in like the early caucus states, Trump also was locked in a fight for a second with Ben Carson. There's a Quinnipiac University poll released Wednesday, which shows that I think he's number three in that poll. So what are we doing? Now, you might say, well, whatever, it's early and it's just a blip in the radar. That's true. But you know what happens as a result of this now? If the numbers stay about the same for a little bit longer, he's going to be in the first debate. He's going to be in the first debate, and they go on to mention in the article, I mean, he's going to throw a wrench in the entire, like, seriousness of the debate. You're going to have a fucking buffoon up there who went bankrupt four times as he pretends he's a business genius. You're going to have this guy, you know, barking at everybody about, and what would you do about the Mexicans coming across the border, the rapists? What would you do about them? I would build a great, great wall. I would build a great, great wall like China, except greater than that. You're going to have this guy on stage talking what's supposed to be serious issues and, you know, figuring out who's going to lead the country next. He's going to be on stage? Oh, God. America, I feel like your father right now, and you have just very much, in a very serious way, disappointed me. What I really want to do is give you a timeout. God, man. Could you imagine? Oh, it hurts to even think about it. Oh, my stomach. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Not only, hey, he gets through the primary, but imagine he becomes president. Now look, is it a long shot? Of course. Of course it's a long shot. But we do live in a country where the Terminator was elected in California. Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's obvious Arnold Schwarzenegger is much more intelligent than Donald Trump. Don't get me wrong here, okay? But he was just a fucking bodybuilder and an action movie star, and he was elected. And he was elected in one of our smarter states, California. All right, that's an issue. Now, again, Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura is actually great on many, many issues, okay? And I respect him. I respect him very much. But let's face it, his past was a professional wrestler. He was elected governor. So we've had Jesse Ventura, we've had of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Is it totally outside of the realm of possibility that we elect this cartoon of a human being? I'm not going to give an answer to that question because I don't want to add to the I don't want to push the meter even 0.00001% in one direction or the other. I'll just leave that question out there lingering, and you guys can answer it yourselves. Is it possible, even if it's a super long shot, that Donald Trump could become president of the U.S.? I like how half this segment has been me making noises of pain. What else can you do when you get news like that? All right, let's move on to something more serious. And it's good, actually, too. Good news coming here. The U.S. and Cuba have finalized an agreement to reopen embassies in each other's capitals. So this is being called a gigantic symbolic step in ending the historic hostility that lasted half a century between the two countries. So Huffington Post reports on this. They say, quote, Obama also wants Congress to repeal the economic embargo on Cuba, though he faces resistance from Republicans and some Democrats. Those opposed to normalizing relations with Cuba say Obama is prematurely rewarding a regime that engages in serious human rights abuses. The president also will face strong opposition in Congress to spending any tax dollar. I'm sorry, to spending any taxpayer dollars, there I can finally speak right, on building or refurbishing an embassy in Havana. Congress would have to approve any administration request to spend money on an embassy. Okay, so here we have a situation where the Republicans are still trying, every which way they can to tank peace with Cuba. Even some Democrats are in on it. We've spoken about that before. I believe Menendez was leading the fight against this. So, unfortunately, there's some bipartisan hatred going on here for Cuba, and people are insistent upon keeping us in a state of turmoil and with a standoffish attitude towards Cuba. But I find many of the arguments that they use beyond ridiculous. Even within the article, and the article, you know, the overall tone of the article was not negative. They weren't taking the side of Republicans or anything like that. But you guys heard me say it right there. They said, those opposed to normalizing relations with Cuba say Obama is prematurely rewarding a regime that engages in serious human rights abuses. Do you see the irony that's dripping from that statement? People in America are going to be confused. People in the U.S. government are going to talk about how they're concerned about human rights abuses from other countries. From other countries. It's not like there was just a report that came out about the CIA and how they tortured people. The thing that's so frustrating about the stance that a lot of these people are taking, the anti-Cuban stance that they're taking, is they have a total inability to be objective and hold themselves to the same standards that they're holding Cuba to. And by the way, the Cuban human rights abuses, and of course we're against them, but they're still a much lesser degree than the human rights abuses that are coming from us. So the idea is, well, they restrict the internet. They restrict the internet and they've jailed some political dissidents. That's fucking child's play compared to what we do. Now, again, I'm totally against that. They should get rid of all the political dissidents. I believe in freedom of speech. I'm an absolutist on that issue. They should definitely, get rid of the internet restrictions and stuff like that. All the political people that they're keeping behind bars. Yes, yes, I'm totally on the side of freedom when it comes to that stuff. But don't pretend like, oh, that stuff is way worse than, like, torturing people in a systemic way for a decade. But it's not! But it's not! And also, name me when Cuba invaded a country that didn't attack them against international law. Oh, you can't do that because it didn't happen? See, that was us. But if we do something, it's okay. We're the good guys by definition. Isn't it hilarious how, like, if you use the Republican logic and some Democratic logic and they used it in Cuba, what would they be saying? They would be saying, well, why the fuck would we work with the Americans? Hey, guys, stop doing the fucking human rights abuses, then maybe we'll work with you. Could you imagine if that argument was flipped onto us? He'd be like, I don't understand, but we're Americans. We're perfect. Yeah, we tortured, but it's okay because we mean well. Don't the Cuban hardliners understand that we're the good guys? Don't they get that we mean well? That's not a fucking convincing argument. And again, look at the history of America and Cuba. What we did to that country, it's unforgivable. But somehow they're reaching out at least so that we can fix the situation a little bit and mend the fences and get back on some kind of an okay footing with each other. But I don't think I would be able to forgive America if I was in Raul Castro's place. I don't think I would. Hell, again, if you know the fucking history, do you know how many times we tried to overthrow the government after they had a revolution? And what was the revolution of, let's be real here, of an American-backed dictator who was repressive to the country? Now, again, you could say, well, it was still a better system than the Castros had. Okay, I mean, that's a fair point. If you wanted, you know, a social policy more in line with what the dictator had in the sense that, oh, that, you know, people had more freedoms even though it was an American-backed dictator. But that's nitpicking, and that's a fair point to make. But their own country. It's their own country. They had a revolution to take back their own country. And then what did we do? We were like, let's go and try to topple them in 812 different ways. There were fucking articles about how they tried to get poison cigars in there for Fidel Castro to smoke, how they invaded on a beach at a certain time, but they had to time it properly and they had to get in there, but Castro's army was able to beat them back. The history is so long and it's so obvious what we were doing. We bombed them with fucking airplanes from the sky for an extended period of time. And we're acting to them like, well, we're still mad at you. They have the right to be mad at us, you idiots! Oh my God, again, it shows how they're just not objective. They don't care about history. They don't care about facts. And what's in their hearts is this standoffish attitude. Fuck you, you don't bend your will completely to us, so fuck off. We don't want any peace with you whatsoever. We don't want to try to get things back to a place of sanity. And at least President Obama, you know, he's, in some ways, he's trying to make it a little bit better, and Raul Castro is doing the right thing as well. And look, we're on the verge of something historic and great here, and we really need to make sure that we succeed on this front. And what it also shows on the American front from Obama is we've now gotten past the worst of the worst of the attitudes of the Cold War when it comes to all the other smaller nations that were involved. So for those of you who don't know the history of that either, that's really interesting, because any country that had a government in place that wasn't either fascist or like uber capitalist and in line with American interests, we would say, you believe in communism, and then we go in there, we topple their democratic governments, and we put in dictators. So at the height of the Cold War, we were just toppling governments all over the place in South America and putting in dictators. And we would say, if you don't agree with us, well, then you're against us. Well, to have Obama say, okay, we get it, you're a different country, you don't have the same system as us in Cuba, but we're going to still work with you. To get to that level, that is improvement. I have many problems with Obama on many issues, including foreign policy. But when it comes to how he's dealing with Cuba and how he's dealing with Iran, I have nothing but positive things to say. The people that are standing in the way, without question, are the conservative Democrats and the Republicans, and they're destined and they're struggling to continue to stay on the wrong side of history. Okay. Let's do one more here, and then we'll take our first break. Go to the issue on police officers and the new big crime in America. The Marshall Project is out with a new report on citizens arrested for cursing at cops, and the problem is more widespread than you may think. So now, there aren't any official statistics available on the matter, but there is some evidence here that's worthy of discussion. So they say, quote, many citizens are illegally arrested for cursing at cops when, in fact, their speech is protected. Last week, the Washington Supreme Court threw out an obstruction case against a man who cursed at cops after they were called to investigate a disturbance at his home in 2011. In December, a Georgia woman was awarded a $100,000 settlement after cops arrested her in 2012 and placed her in solitary confinement for cursing at them and flipping their officers the bird. They go on to explain that direct threatening speech is a different matter entirely, and that is illegal. And we've discussed this before on the show, how there are very, very few exceptions to freedom of speech in America, but there's the classic examples. Can't yell fire in a movie theater, can't yell bomb on a plane, can't do direct threats of violence, and that, of course, extends to police officers as well. But remember, just because that's the case does not mean that you can't curse against the cop. They say, in fact, you absolutely can do that. They continue, the use of vulgar speech against police officers came to a head during the late 1980s when NWA released Straight Outta Compton, which featured a track titled Fuck the Police. During a Detroit concert, police rushed to the stage after Ice Cube started speaking lyrics from the song. The group fled the stage and were later questioned by the cops, asked why the officers rushed the stage. One was quoted as saying, we just wanted to show the kids that you can't say, fuck the police, in Detroit. Okay, now, the reality is, of course, you are allowed to do that. And according to the ACLU, they go on to explain further in the article, black people are 8.86 times more likely to be arrested than white people for disorderly conduct in some places. I think specifically they're referring to Minnesota in the article. And oftentimes, what does disorderly conduct include? Cursing at the police. Again, we don't have broader statistics on this, and I wish we did, But either way, there's enough here to have a discussion about the trend, which is cops really do feel, not all of them, but many of them do feel like if you disrespect them, that's essentially a crime. And that they then have a right to react against you with violence or to throw you in jail. Now, credit to the court system, because consistently across the country, court systems are crystal fucking clear. No, when you're talking about a case where it's just cursing at an officer, you got to get your emotions out of the way. They're allowed to do that. That's not against the law. Okay, so the courts are crystal clear, and credit to the courts on that. But you have to change the training of the police officers to let them know that you're a representative of the people. You're paid for with tax dollars. In many ways, sometimes the person cursing at you is the person who's your boss, essentially. So what you need to do is you need to take the fucking high road. And I get it. Everybody gets it. They're just human beings. So they get angry. If somebody curses at them, they're like, no, fuck you. I understand what goes on mentally. But the reality is, if you're supposed to be the law, well, then you have to act like the law and take your own personal feelings and emotions out of it, because they are not relevant to the situation that's occurring. The reality is, whatever the law is, whatever the words on the page are, that's what you're supposed to enforce, and if you're arresting people for anything that's not against the law, well, then you are the one that's really breaking the law. And that's the main point to get out here is, you want to have a conversation about criminals, let's have a conversation about criminals. Who are the criminals in the case with the NWA where they rush up there and try to arrest them because they say, fuck the police? Who are the real criminals in that scenario? The police. And I like how I keep saying police, not police. But that's who the real criminals are. Okay, if they arrest you because you curse at them, if they arrest you because they don't like how you're protesting or what you're protesting, they then become the criminals. They then become the bad guys. And as the phrase goes, who's going to watch the watchmen? Well, look, that's what our job is supposed to be. And I don't mean just me and the show here and progressives. I mean society, all of us together. We're all supposed to step up and say, no, no, this isn't your job. You're not allowed to do that. And if you do that, there are going to be consequences. So get your shit together and understand that you got to take your personal feelings out of it. They're allowed to curse at you. We live in a free country. Sometimes people forget that. Okay. Well, that was fun. Oh, I actually have time for one more here before we take our first break. How about we do that? Oh, sweet Jesus, we're already getting involved in serious foreign policy stuff. The White House on Tuesday came out against a provision in the Fast Track Authority Bill for the TPP, which already passed. It's a provision that essentially gives Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories a blessing. It gives them the green light, it gives them a go-ahead, and it says, right on, go ahead, you keep on occupying, fantastic. So they say the following, quote, the United States government has strongly opposed boycotts, divestment campaigns, and sanctions targeting the state of Israel and will continue to do so. However, by conflating Israel and Israeli-controlled territories, a provision of the Trade Promotion Authority legislation runs counter to longstanding U.S. policy toward the occupied territories, including with regard to settlement activity. So, understand what the White House is saying there. Israel, you know that we're on your side. We're not even in favor of the BDS movement, so let's be clear about that. We're with you. We're with you. But, I mean, look, the TPA bill has a provision which says A-OK to further expansion and to occupied territories and to settlements. We don't go that far. Okay? Again, we're on your side, but to go that far and to say occupied territory, rock and roll, as Obama said previously, it's getting fucking hard to defend you, Netanyahu. It's getting hard to defend Israel when they keep expanding as they pretend like, oh, we're totally in favor of a Palestinian state. So the amendment basically discourages Europe from stopping trade with the occupied territories as well. So they're just trying to take away all criticism. This is in Fast Track Authority for the TPP. I don't even know what this has to, how this fucking relates to it, other than that there's some trade that's done between all the different places. But think about that, man. You're just trying to take away all criticism of the occupied territories. If there's anything that needs more criticism, a heaping healthy dose of criticism, it's the occupied territories. You should not be occupying them. But see, that's why they slip it in. They try to take something that's not debatable on the other side and make it not debatable for the wrong reasons. Like, it's not debatable because we're for the occupation. No, it's not debatable because nobody should be for the occupation. It's really slimy and it's really gross. And by the way, here's my little conspiracy on this, and I don't even know how much of a conspiracy it is. I don't think the White House really even believes what the fuck they're saying. I don't. Because you know how you could have showed that you were against this provision? If you took the provision out before you passed the TPA. That's we don't like this provision. Then why the fuck did you just sign the bill? Assholes. We're totally against this, which is why we supported it and we pushed for it. Notice how after the TPA passed, they're now like, you know, I don't like this part right here. This doesn't seem right to me. So they can come out and give a statement and put on a face for the rest of the world where they're like, we're not really the bad guys here. We're on your side. But meanwhile, actions speak louder than words, and your actions show that you just supported occupation because you signed on to the TPA, and in the TPA, they say rock and roll occupation. So it's at the point now where I think for all of, like, the little bit of pushing back Obama does, it's very possible that it's just, you know, showmanship. It's kabuki theater. It's Obama and Netanyahu or the U.S. government and the Israeli government playing this game where America's like, oh, you better try to get a state now. I'm wagging my finger at you. And Netanyahu and Likud are like, yeah, we will try to get a state, but, oh, we don't really want it that much. And the U.S. is like, well, we're going to force you to do it. And then what happens? They never fucking do it. They never lift the veto at the U.N. They never cut the billions of dollars in aid that we give them. They never support BDS, as they just said. Just every once in a while, maybe kind of, but not really, they say, occupation is a little bit fucked up. Well, again, I don't care about what the fuck you have to say. I care about what you do, how you try to fix it. You have the power. You know you have the power. You could cut the funding. You could lift the veto. You could support the BDS movement, but you don't do it. And you don't do it because, again, it seems to me like this is kabuki theater at this point. Like, you're just playing a game, you're putting on a play for the rest of the world where the U.S. pretends to be more reasonable on the issue of a Palestinian state, but in reality, they're perfectly in lockstep with Netanyahu and Israel. And it's fucking hard to watch, man. How much longer do the people in Palestine, how much longer are you going to make them sit there and fucking take this? And then what happens? When they think there's no hope, so they turn to violence. What does that make Israel do, and what does that make the U.S. do? They turn around and go, you see, they're savages anyway. We can't give them a state because they're violent people. It's inherent in their nature. Have you considered that maybe the conditions that are brought about by your actions make it so that they turn to fucking violence? And we know that that's true. That's a fact. We know, based on studies, based on evidence. I mean, we spoke about the polling data recently, how before Netanyahu's incursion into Gaza, Hamas was not popular in Gaza. Then after the incursion, they shot up in popularity 15 percentage points. Why? Because when you're an aggressor against them, what are they going to do? They're going to turn to the militants who say, we will protect you. They're going to turn to their own right-wingers to protect against the Israeli right-wingers. So you're making the problem fucking worse. And, you know, America is playing the role of the international weasel on this front. And we need to fucking stand up and say enough, man. People in America, fuck that. Now, I'm not for the Fast Track Authority. I'm not for the TPP. I would tank that entire bill anyway. But along with trying to tank that bill, we should also do everything I just named in order to get a Palestinian state and get it recognized by the UN. We have to do it for long-term peace and stability in the region. It is an absolute necessity. And the way you do that is you lift the veto, you cut the funding, and you join BDS. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Fox News loses their shit over a protest involving burning the American flag. And we got a whole bunch of stuff on gay marriage, the Confederate flag, all that great stuff. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. Yeah. Time to go to a story that I could really spend a lot of time on. Let's see if I could limit myself here. Fox News absolutely lost their shit over a protest that involved burning the American flag. There's so much to pick apart here. Let's watch.
Anti-cop activists set to burn the American flag tonight in a shocking and certainly unpatriotic protest. But should we be surprised? We were warned almost three decades ago that our country could lose its patriotic values if we weren't careful.
Younger parents aren't sure that an unambivalent appreciation of America is the right thing to teach modern children. And as for those who create the popular culture, well-grounded patriotism is no longer the style. We've got to do a better job of getting across that America is freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of enterprise. And freedom is special and rare. It's fragile,
seems appropriate this week of the 4th of July. Joining us right now, Peter Johnson, Jr.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan's soul is flipping in heaven above now. There's a group called Disarm NYPD going to burn a flag or flags in Fort Greene Park in Brooklyn tonight. Now, burning the flag is protected by the Constitution. Two United States Supreme Court cases say you can do it. But there are laws in New York that say you can't be burning stuff without a permit, and certainly can't be doing it in a park. But this group, Disarm NYPD, is the essence of the anarchist values that seek to destroy this country. And so you say, well, Peter, you wear a flag, and you're one of those flag-waving patriots, one of those Fox News guys. There's a continuum of service and sacrifice in this country of hundreds of years, whether it's military or civilian. Americans get it. Americans don't get it because these folks, in my view, are the cultural cousins, the cultural brothers and sisters of that maniac racist murderer in Charleston who decided that he was going to burn the flag and show it on social media. There's little difference between what they do and what he did.
There's little difference between Dylann Roof, the racist white supremacist terrorist, and a group of protesters who are trying to improve the system in the United States of America. No, don't give me that bullshit. These groups of people could not be further apart, okay? Oftentimes, by the way, as the new atheists say, and they're right to point this out, what is the ideology behind the action that you're doing? When it comes to Dylann Roof, what's the answer? It's racism. It's white supremacy. It's wanting to bring back the Confederacy. It is a true anti-Americanism in the sense that he's not trying to make America better. He's trying to get rid of America and bring back the Confederacy. Okay, that's what he represents. Now, on the other hand, what does this group Disarm the Police represent in Brooklyn? What are they trying to do? They're burning the American flag because they want to make the system better. They're saying the way it works right now is fucked up because all these innocent people are dying. So, hey, let's do some reforms here. Let's change the way the police department works. And let's make the NYPD like the police departments in many places in Europe where they are unarmed, where they would stop killing us on a regular basis. So they're burning the American flag not because they hate America, but because they believe in America. They're trying to form a more perfect union. It makes sense to burn the American flag because you love your country when your country does something fucked up. On the day that we learned that the CIA was torturing people, and a lot of them were fucking innocent, on that day we all should have burned the American flag to show to the rest of the world, look, our ideals are what matters, not the fucking colors on our flag and the nation that we belong to. A nation is only as good as its actions. You are what you do. So when you torture people, and a lot of them happen to be innocent, guess what? On that day, you should be ashamed of your country, and you should burn the flag in protest to say, let's create a better America tomorrow. Okay? The country's not perfect. I hate to tell you, Fox News. The country's not fucking perfect. So when people, when patriots stand up and they say we're going to burn the flag because of reasons X, Y, and Z, and those reasons make sense, and they're trying to improve the country, that's a very different thing than if you see Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda burn the American flag, or if you see dumbass, racist, bitch boy Dylann Roof burn the American flag. It's not the same thing. It's nowhere near the same thing. What is the ideology behind burning the American flag? If I burn the American flag, is it the same thing as the KKK burning the American flag? No, because they want to implement segregation all over again. They want to bring back the Confederacy. They're openly racist. If I burn the American flag, it's because I want fucking universal health care and universal education and to stop all the wars overseas. It is a totally disingenuous argument to say that. And oh yeah, by the way, Dylann Roof murdered 9 people in a terrorist attack. And meanwhile, what are these people doing out of this group in New York? They're trying to make it so people don't die. They killed a grand total of 0 people. So this idea that, oh, they're very similar. No, they're not. No, they're not. Only in your mind, because you're an idiot, are they similar. Okay? And also, did you catch the fucking tremendous irony there? Oh, it was overwhelming. These idiots played a clip of Ronald Reagan talking about America. And in that clip, Ronald Reagan says, America is freedom. We need to get that across to people in the world. America is freedom. That includes, and he says, freedom of speech. So they played a clip of Ronald Reagan talking about the virtues of freedom of speech to come back from the clip and then slam freedom of speech. Burning the American flag is freedom of speech. They even pointed it out. How did you not see the hypocrisy and the irony in that? They're playing a clip of Ronald Reagan like, oh, freedom of speech is everything. And then they come back and they're like, isn't freedom of speech horrible? No, it's not. It's absolutely not. As I described yesterday on the show, true patriotism is not just waving the flag. It's understanding that you live in a country where if you burn that flag, you're not going to get thrown in jail. That's true patriotism, and that's true freedom. In other words, the opposite of what Fox News believes in. Okay. All right, now we're going to move on to gay marriage stuff. Yeah, I got a bunch here. Three, four. Good googly moogly. Four separate, distinct gay marriage stories. All right. Let's go start off here with a Wisconsin Republican. Wisconsin Republican Glenn Grothman weighed in on the gay marriage decision on a radio show this week, and he made a curious argument about American history.
People become so anesthetized to one more level of government bowing to the gay agenda. I think we ought to, one more time, review what has happened here and how appalling this is. The Supreme Court looked at, I believe it was the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, to decide that local units of government had no choice in the matter, and from here on out, gay marriage is going to be legal in all 50 states, all counties, all everything. It is worth remembering that the 14th Amendment of the Constitution was ratified after the Civil War and was, in fact, kind of the culmination of the Civil War, correct?
Yeah.
Our president during the Civil War was, of course, Abraham Lincoln, who is known as the most biblical president, somebody who quoted the Bible a lot. In the Civil War, over 600,000 people died in a country that was much less populated than that today. And it was a much more religious country, and I think a lot of people who died fighting in that war felt they died fighting for a religious cause, you know, battle hymn of the Republic and all that. I think it would shock those people who died in that war to find out that the constitutional amendment, which was ratified kind of as the culmination of their great efforts and their great deaths, would be 150 years later, a little less than 150 years later, used by these five arrogant, rogue people to take this constitutional amendment and say that that constitutional amendment that was drafted after the Civil War, in fact, was an amendment designed to say that same-sex marriage had to be legal. It was an amendment drafted by a people who felt they had just engaged in a strong religious war to further a Christian lifestyle by getting rid of slavery.
All right. He just argued the Civil War was a religious war. It was a religious war? How do you figure? Who was who? Now, he just kind of alluded to the fact, well, it was Abraham Lincoln, a very religious man. He represented the Christian side, the North. And then, obviously, as we all know, they were fighting the Hindus in the South. What do you mean it's a religious war? What the fuck are you talking about? Christians in the North, damn Buddhists in the South. They keep getting in the way. Or the atheist heathens in the South is what it is. Oh, really? Is that what was happening? No, you fucking fool. Both sides were pretty religious. America's always been a pretty religious country overall. Both sides were majority Christian. And both sides thought that Scripture was on their side, but the religious sentiment was only the backbone on one of the sides. You know what side that was? The South. You know what all the pastors in the South did as we covered the history of the other day? They all argued that slavery is from God, and they know it's from God, and they had a certitude about that. Look, we read the passages before on air. we've read you the quotes from the Old Testament that say, hey, here's not only the fact that you should have slavery, but here's the way that you should have slavery. So they went to specifics, and by the way, it's not even just in the Old Testament. They also have slavery in the New Testament. We gave you those quotes as well. So if anything, you want to talk about a religious war. In so far as religion was part of this war, and it wasn't the main thing, let's be clear about that, it was the South that was the most religious, and they were the ones who parroted Scripture the most to continue slavery, not to get rid of slavery. And then the point about, you know, those Civil War soldiers, if you could bring them back today and tell them that this amendment is now used to let gays marry, they'd be like, damn, dog, what the fuck? No, you know what I think they'd be really amazed by if you woke them up today? Planes? The internet? Crazy shit like that? Technology? The fact that we cured some diseases? We went to the moon? They'd be like, what the fuck? You tell them about gays. What? Okay. Anyway, is that a fucking flying metal thing in the air? How is that possible? How does that work? Is that magic? Is this voodoo? What's going on here? They'd be like, gays, whatever. We'll get to that later, son. Have you had a McDonald's burger? Fucking delicious. I can't believe we didn't have these back in our day. God, they're so up their own ass. But what I love the most about this story is just the ability for Republicans to just make something up and run with it as if it's true and not even be ashamed of bringing it up in public. I would be embarrassed to say something as confidently as he said it when it's factually incorrect as he is. I mean, he's just like,
yeah, religious war, everybody knows that. It was a religious war, the Civil War, religious values is what was fought over.
He's saying it so confidently, meanwhile, it was absolutely untrue. Absolutely untrue. There you have it, Republican 101. Make shit up, have it make no sense, double down anyway. Okay. Now we're going to go to Tom DeLay. Speaking of making shit up, you're going to see a theme here when it comes to the right talking about gay marriage. Tom DeLay is the former House Majority Leader for the Republicans, and he went on Newsmax TV to discuss the gay marriage ruling, and you're not going to believe what he said.
Found a secret memo coming out of the Justice Department. They're now going to go after 12 new perversions, things like bestiality, polygamy, having sex with little boys and making that legal. And not only that, but they have a whole list of strategies to go after the churches, the pastors, and any businesses that tries to assert their religious liberty. This is coming, and it's coming like a tidal wave.
All right, so Tom, I just want to get this straight. So you are aware of a Justice Department memo where that says there will be an effort to legitimize or legalize bestiality, pedophilia, and, as you put it, perversions?
That's correct. That's correct. They're coming down with 12 new perversions.
Shameless. These guys are shameless. Made it up. 100% absolutely positively made it up and ran with it anyway. You know, I got a secret memo that somebody sent me on the email machine, and it said that the Justice Department is talking internally about how they're going to legalize pedophilia. Oh. No, but see, here's my question for these guys. Do you not realize that we'll know, like, we all live on this planet, in this world, we will know whether or not what you just said is true or false. And it is false. But you say it anyway. You say it as if, you know, you live in a fucking fact vacuum and nobody can check what the fuck you say. But we can check it, we can fact check it, and we know that you're wrong. We know you're proven incorrect. But you say it anyway. How can you bring yourself to do that? Wouldn't you be embarrassed? You just, to go out there and make an assertion, make a claim that's just verifiably, demonstrably untrue. Wouldn't you be embarrassed? Wouldn't you say, look, I can't do that. I have pride. I have, a name here. I'm trying to not fucking associate myself with blithering stupidity. I can't say something like that. That's fucking crazy. He goes out there, I got a secret Justice Department memo here. It says they're going to try to fuck little boys now. By the way, okay, prove it. That simple. Release your Justice Department email. By the way, again, this is the former House Majority Leader. Former House Majority Leader. A leader in the Republican Party at a national level. That's who this is. The mainstream is the fringe now in the Republican Party. Where's the memo, big guy? Release the memo. And then, look, of course, when he does it, he's not going to do it. But if he were to do it, you'd have to look into it, because just like with Obama's birth certificate, remember that nonsense?
We proved that Obama indeed was born in Kenya. We got his birth certificate here from Kenya. Got it right here.
When people dug into it to see whether or not it's real or fake, they put literally the wrong name of the country. At the time, it wasn't called, it didn't have the exact same name as it does now. It was a different phrasing of it or whatever. So they put the wrong name. They put the government certificate dated for a day that the government office wasn't open. There was just all these just insanely obvious factual errors on which made it a clear forgery. It was just obviously fake. But they presented it anyway. Tom Delay, again, he's not going to release anything, but if he were to, I guarantee you, it would be just him on his fucking Microsoft Word there, like, we should allow pedophilia now, dot, 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 this is the Justice Department, signing out. Oh, they can't help themselves, man. They just make shit up, and they're like, yeah, no, it's true. You just made it up. We know you just made it up. Look, here's the thing. Very simply, by and large, what are progressives in favor of? Well, I can tell you what I'm in favor of as somebody who's, categorized as a progressive in America. I think consenting adults should be able to get married. That's pretty much it. That's my standard, consenting adults. So what does that include? Well, yeah, not only does it include gay marriage, it does include polygamy, and I've said that from day one. Now, here's where they say, aha, there is a slippery slope, but there's not a slippery slope, because I'm telling you what the standard is. I'm not telling you the standard and then slipping from that standard. I'm telling you what the exact standard is. What it doesn't include is bestiality. What it doesn't include is pedophilia. Why? The key word is fucking consenting adults. Key words, I should say. Consenting adults. Shamu can't consent if you're trying to shove your pecker in his blowhole. That's not consenting. I don't allow it. To fuck little kids, it's not, they're not adults, and again, it's also not consenting, because by definition they can't consent, because they haven't reached an age yet where they're sexually mature, and they know what they're consenting to. So nobody, that's the thing, nobody on the left has ever argued for these things, okay? No mainstream person with any amount of following or power has ever argued, let's fuck little kids next. You make it up and you run with it to the point where not only do you think the left is in favor of it, you just said the Justice Department is making memos on it. Oh, my God. You guys should be fucking embarrassed. And also, keep it real, they should fucking apologize. Because you know that if the discussion was flipped and it was Democrats making some wild, factually incorrect assertion about Republicans, that they would be screaming at us to apologize. It's like if somebody goes out on their show and they say, hey, did you know that Sean Hannity likes to fuck little boys in the ass? And they just have a conversation as if it's factual. I got a Justice Department memo back from the Bush days where they spoke about how there's evidence of Sean Hannity fucking little boys in the ass. I'm just saying, it's in the Justice Department memo. What do you want me to say? It's there. Would they just sit back and take it? Would they just be like, it's cool. No, it's freedom of speech. You say whatever the fuck you want. No, they'd be like, oh my God, character assassination, evil liberals. I can't believe what they're doing. Fucking sue them. Go after them. Make them apologize immediately. Fire everybody. Everybody at MSNBC apologize right now. That's what they do. So why are we not doing that to them? The left wants to allow you to fuck little boys. I have a Justice Department memo. All right, then release the fucking memo. Release the memo. Release the memo. You're not going to release the memo because it doesn't fucking exist because you made it up. And it's obvious that you made it up. What they need to understand is we don't take you seriously, right-wingers. Notice the tone of the discussion I'm having here about you. I am mocking you. I am mocking you because you are stupid people whose brains are broken. It's not functioning right. I give people intellectual respect when they've earned intellectual respect. I talk about libertarians in a much different way than I talk about you guys, because libertarians, while I may disagree with them, they do have brain cells. Okay, but you guys are just a fucking joke and an embarrassment to the country, which is why you should go hang out with Donald Trump. Okay, that was fun. Pedophilia! Justice Department memo is saying pro-pedophilia. Oh, fuck that. All right, let's take a break when we come back. Not done with the gay marriage issue yet, skis. And then after that, we will get to porn addiction. Is it real? Think about it. All right. Come right back.
Yes, you could just ask her out. The beauty from Harvard Law, the blue collar.
Like whatever I say.
I've been sleeping with a girl.
My stock is down and out.
I used to be with my waiting girl.
That was before the Great Depression kicked in and rocked us.
And that was before the hurricane came in and stopped us.
I told you to leave, but you lied to me when you said that. Maybe no worries, I promise to get us back.
I'm so sorry, just wouldn't do it.
You just leave.
guys. Welcome back. Bitch.
Fox News host Todd Starnes spoke at a church in Texas over the weekend, and naturally, he had to take a jab at gay marriage.
I know that Bible verse we saw a few minutes ago, I think many of us, our spirits were a bit crushed this week, but after that, I'm ready to rock and roll. Amen. Well, it is exciting to be in Texarkana. Did I say it correctly? All right, good. I was practicing. Got a chance to meet your mayor, and he gave me the official pen of the city, which I have right here, and it is just a blessing to be here in God's country. And I bring you greetings from the Fox News corner of the world. Flew out of New York City yesterday and got here. There were a lot of storms. And it's interesting, they tell us on the news this morning that there are record floods in Washington, D.C., just a few days after what happened Friday. And I seem to recall another period in time where there were historic floods, too. I don't know. Maybe coincidence, who knows?
Because the gays, the evil gays, the satanic gays, and then the thing with the floods and the, like, Sodom and Gomorrah or, like, the Noah thing. Ah, Zinger, you got him, man. You fucking got him. Oh, this is what passes for Republican comedy. And they wonder. I mean, they, you know, there's people are always talking about how,
you know, there seems to be an underrepresentation of conservative comics. They say this about academia, too.
I got bad news for you guys. The reason why there are more liberals in academia than conservatives? Liberals are smarter. Comedy? Liberals are funnier. I hate to tell you guys, but it's not an accident. It's not an accident. Well, gosh golly, it turns out that most of these scientists here are liberals and non-believers. So do affirmative action for the idiots and see what happens with how your intellectual research goes from there on out. See how your philosophy department ends up. See how your various scientific studies end up. It wouldn't look very good. But also, I mean, we're talking about Todd Starnes here. You want to know why we're covering this story other than the fact that that was his attempt at being funny? I think he believes it. I do. If you know anything about Todd Starnes, in fact, I don't even think it's really an open question. He believes it. The gays are getting married. God's mad. So he made it slightly flood, maybe, in Washington, D.C.? That's Satan's wrath? That's God's wrath? You would think that if we're talking about God here, omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, he could do anything. You would think if he's really angry about gay marriage, that it would be like, boom, nuclear explosion over Washington, D.C., the second that they had the ruling. Why would he wait? What was he, fucking taking a coffee break that lasted a few days before the rain started? What was he? Was he bowling with the Buddha or some shit? What exactly was happening? You would think immediately, nuclear explosion, Washington's gone. He doesn't even need to. He just snap a finger and we're nothingness. The world could stop existing like that. So why is it God always takes these strange things? I'll wait 3 days. After the 3 days, I'm not going to go crazy and do, like, I don't know, a hurricane or a tornado or a giant earthquake or anything. We'll do, like, torrential rains. Not like a bad, bad flood, but a little bit of a flood. Give him a little taste here. This is what your God thinks. This is how your God acts. I'm sorry, but if that's how your God thinks, I want to worship your God. Your God's an idiot. And also, look at the priorities. I'm so mad about the gays, you have no idea. What does God do instead of caring about starving children, instead of caring about disease, instead of caring about war? What does he do? Oh, the gays get me so angry. I love how God apparently has a gayish voice. Rain, I got you. And next time, I'll make it rain men, okay? Todd Starnes would like that, wouldn't he? And I can't get through a Todd Starnes segment without doing it. I'm Todd Starnes. Here's my announcer voice. I've been practicing. Stop. It's not 1953 anymore. I don't know what it is about, and it's not, look, it's not just Todd Starnes. He's just the worst offender. But there's all these different, especially when it comes to conservatives. They can't help themselves but do the fake, like, persona of what they think an announcer is supposed to be. I'll have good posture, and I'll sit like this, and then I will talk about the world in this voice, and then you'll take me more seriously because I'm using my fake announcer voice. No, we don't take you more seriously. We take you less seriously. Because just like everything else about you, it's fake. That's not how you really talk. What, you're at your mother's house for a holiday, you're sitting on the couch, and you're like, Mother dearest, can you please get me a Coca-Cola? I would really enjoy a very ice-cold beverage. You know you don't do that. Ma, get me a drink. That's what you do. Because you're a human being. I can't take the fakeness. But look, the only upside of the fakeness with the announcer voice is that perhaps the entire thing is a character, and he's just a soulless bastard who doesn't really believe in religion. I think that might be better if he's just like a soulless, evil person who doesn't believe in religion, and he's playing a character, he's doing this act. That may be slightly better than the real Christian Taliban, who might actually, you know, have these beliefs about how we might have to do something about the gays. Because there's getting torrential downpours here, floods. God forbid. Okay. All right, one more on this topic. I know I've beaten you to death with this, but I got kids. So it's the news. It's not me. I promise you. All right, John Hagee. Oh, God. We haven't spoken about this jackass in a while. Pastor John Hagee ranted against gay marriage on his show. Let's watch.
One of the arguments that many Bible-believing Christians are hearing is that the moment that they stand against same-sex marriage, they're not behaving as a Christian should, because a Christian should be tolerant. A Christian shouldn't judge. A Christian shouldn't be the kind of person that condemns, because aren't we all sinners? Can you speak to this issue? Because many people are wondering when it is an appropriate time to stand up and speak up, and when they have crossed the line into the threshold of judgment. I know that many people feel that same-sex marriage is wrong, but what are some Bible convictions that they can stand upon so that they find themselves not standing in judgment, but standing up for truth?
That's a good question, Matt, and here's the Bible answer. And please understand, the Bible has the answer to this situation from Genesis to Revelation.
Mm.
Let me make the statement that the Bible condones disobeying the state when the state is requiring that you disobey the law of God. Go first to the children of Israel. They are in Egypt. They are in bondage. Pharaoh is fearful that their male sons are going to become so numerous that they're going to have to be drowned in the Nile River lest they overcome the Egyptians. And he instructs the Egyptian midwives to report the births of Jewish male babies so that they can be killed. The Bible clearly says that the Egyptian midwives gave birth to the Jewish children, defied Pharaoh by not reporting it, and God blessed them for defying Pharaoh, because God says, thou shalt not kill. That's a Bible illustration of obeying the word of God over the government. Another illustration in the New Testament. The wise men come to worship Jesus Christ. They are in Herod's court. Herod says, when you find the Christ child, tell me, come back and tell me where he is so that I too can go and worship him. Herod intended to kill Jesus, and the wise men knew it. The wise men went and saw Jesus, and the Bible says, and they departed another way. They disobeyed the state, and God blessed them in their journey home. Whenever the state demands what God condemns, stand up against it. This is the standard of righteousness. We are children of the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God is greater than any political kingdom on the face of this earth.
Pastor Hagee, thank you so much for the work that you've done to stand up and speak up for truth and being on the Hagee Hotline today.
Dude, that's your dad. Why the act? I don't understand it. I mean, it's a minor point, admittedly, but he's like, thank you, Pastor Hagee, for joining us here on the Hagee Hotline, the show that you created and you gave to me because I'm your son. Just say dad. Thanks, dad. Appreciate it. Thank you, Pastor Hagee. Everything about them is fucking insufferable. And if you notice, there's a longer clip on that, too. You'll see that all of the mannerisms and the inflection in the voice and stuff like that, Hagee Jr. gets it from Hagee Sr. It's so sad to watch. But the thing that was the grossest there is the perversion of the word truth. Did you catch that? Multiple times. At the beginning they said it, at the end they said it. The idea is, well, we need you, oh great fundamentalist pastor, to tell us the truth about the world we live in. Do you not get what the term truth means? It's basically the opposite of everything you fucking think it is. There you are reading a 1,000-year-old book from the desert a bunch of idiots wrote, and you're like, oh, look to this for the truth. How's that truth? That has no resemblance to the truth. But see, this is why I think religion is so dangerous. I think that this is a perfect example of why it's so dangerous. It's dangerous because the entire paradigm of the conversation is flawed. So in other words, a person like you or a person like me, we can't even sit across from the table and negotiate or compromise with a person like John Hagee in a free society, because his entire paradigm of belief is logic is irrelevant, reason is irrelevant, rationality is irrelevant, democracy is irrelevant, that person's opinion and that person's opinion, irrelevant. All that matters to me is this ancient scripture, and oh yeah, by the way, I'm going to cherry pick from that ancient scripture, and whatever I conclude is something that's not debatable. So the entire paradigm of belief is based on gigantic, tremendous, gaping falsehoods and inaccuracies. How dangerous is that? Because you're no longer concerned about, okay, things that matter. How do we get food to people? How do we have a good infrastructure? Where are we going to get our water from? How do we build a system to make that work? How does healthcare function? You no longer are concerned about that stuff, and your main focus becomes the rituals and the bullshit and the superstition in the book that I believe is the main focus here, and that's all that matters. So the whole paradigm is off. It's like having a conversation with somebody who speaks Chinese, right? And in the sense that you speak English and you don't speak Chinese, you can't do it. It's not possible because they're not on the same level. It's not the same frequency. You don't have the same concerns. It's not even close to the same concerns. So how are you supposed to work with that guy? And that's why secularism is so important, because secularism is just the idea that even if you're religious, okay, your religion is your personal business. It's your private business. But there is a separation between what your religious beliefs are and how you act democratically within a society and how you make the government function. You understand that? It's a very important distinction. To be secular means there are plenty of – most religious people are moderate, decent, good human beings. But they can only function within a society insofar as they're willing to say, my religion is my business, my personal business. I'll worry about my own rituals. But in the public sphere, my main concern as to how to craft laws is going to be what makes sense democratically, what makes sense reasonably. It's not going to be to drag in theocracy here. And what you're watching is a guy who, call it what it is, he's just openly arguing for theocracy. He is the Christian Taliban. Okay, you're telling me, quote this guy verbatim and just make it in Arabic with a guy wearing traditional Muslim garb and we wouldn't be calling him a terrorist? We would immediately be calling him a terrorist because he says, quote, you must obey God over the government. Simple. Pick God over the state. That's exactly what the Taliban says. That's exactly what Al-Qaeda says. And that's exactly what they believe. Now, thankfully, these guys don't have as much political power as they used to have in America. They don't have as much political power as theocrats in the Middle East now have. But my point is, it's incumbent upon all liberals, all progressives, all sane people, everybody who believes in secularism, we can't just sit back and let these guys say this shit unrebutted, okay? This goes, you have to argue against the Christian fundamentalists and the Muslim fundamentalists and all religious fundamentalists because, again, they're so far out of the norm, they're so far out of the realm of reason that the results, if they get control, is just an absolute disaster. What happens when uber fundamentalists get control? You have ISIS. What happens is you have a country where John Hagee takes over and he tries to implement biblical law in the most conservative, backwards, insane ways, and everybody's fucking miserable and nobody's free. That's what happens. We need to stand up and we need to fight against it. And it's the job of secular people and agnostics and atheists to argue against the whole idea of faith being a good thing, because it's not. You're just not basing your decisions on reason. And it's also incumbent upon moderate religious people to stand up and say, your interpretation is horseshit. Okay? Now, again, I don't even necessarily believe that the moderate religious people are more right about their religion than the fundamentalists. I think they're both cherry-picking, and just one group of people is worse people and the other group of people is better people. But that's irrelevant to the conversation anyway, because we need to defeat the fundamentalist ideology, and that's going to need to include moderate religious people saying, my interpretation is better than your interpretation, and here's why. Okay. So there was an art exhibit in Milwaukee that really offended some Catholics. Picture of the previous Pope, Pope Benedict, made of condoms. So the New York Times wrote an article about this, and of course they showed the picture in question in the article. Now, needless to say, the Catholics involved here need to fucking get over themselves. Stop trying to censor people. We live in a free society. Okay, you're offended. So what? You have a right to be offended. But when you lash out and say, don't show that because it makes me angry, well, you don't have a right to not be offended. You can be offended, but you don't have a right to then turn around and try to censor people who make you feel that way. That would not be a free society. That would be tyranny if you get to dictate to other people, I feel this way, so you can't do X. No, that's not the way an open democratic society functions, and you should know that. So all the Catholics that were angry about this are absolutely ridiculous. And also keep in mind the history of the Catholic Church when it comes to condoms. I mean, it was the Catholic Church that went to Africa and said in AIDS-ravaged regions, no, you don't need condoms. Oh, so then, look, they are responsible for untold numbers of deaths as a result of that. That's really, really fucked up shit. Okay, so what's interesting in this story, though, is not even the thing I just laid out for you, okay? What's interesting is that the New York Times printed the picture because Catholics had came out and they said, we are fucking offended at this picture. We don't like it. Now, let's look back to what happened during the Charlie Hebdo attack. Back then, they said, quote, under Times standards, we do not normally publish images or other material deliberately intended to offend religious sensibilities. They didn't publish the Hebdo cartoon. They didn't publish the Hebdo cartoon even in context, in the exact same context that they did with the Catholic cartoon. So in other words, the context wasn't even, hey, we're doing this as a fuck you to Muslims or in this case to Catholics. The context was just, we are a news agency reporting the news that there was a terrorist attack against people who drew this cartoon. They wouldn't even print it under that context of, we are just explaining the facts and this is a cartoon that is part of the facts. They wouldn't even print it under that context. They also had a blistering article at the time about Pam Geller for, quote, inflicting deliberate anguish on Muslims. Okay, this is something that is getting serious. We've spoken about this in the past, and I caught some shit when I spoke about it in the past, but it's becoming apparent. It's really obvious. It's right in front of us. There is hypocrisy. There is a double standard. You do see some liberals, not all. I'm a liberal. I don't do it. But you do see some liberals who are more willing to bite their tongue and shut the fuck up when it comes to criticizing Islam as opposed to Christianity. Now, understand something, man. I get it. I get it. In the sense that in America specifically, you have Muslims are a tiny percentage of the population. They are a minority, and in many ways, they're oppressed. They are. We cover it on this show all the time. They pass the anti-Sharia law laws in red states, specifically as a fuck you to Muslims, even though Sharia law is already banned. So it's a way to single them out and say, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. The NSA has been open about the fact. The Intercept article proved how they were spying on Muslims, even though they knew they were moderate because, oh, Muslims, so just spy on them. And the hate crime rate shot up over 1,000% after 9/11, anti-Muslim hate crime, even anti-Sikh hate crime, anti-Hindu hate crime. Anybody who they thought, you know, wasn't, you're a little too dark for my liking as a white dude, those people were attacked. Never mind the foreign policy, which we've had after from 9/11 onward, has been beyond fucked up. We are poking Muslims in the eye around the world. We're invading countries that didn't attack us, and we end up killing so many civilians. All those things are legitimate gripes, and I'm with you on those issues, 100%. But to bite your tongue and not show the cartoon because it's a Muslim in the Charlie Hebdo attack, that is a double standard, and that is hypocrisy. And the most important thing is, it's a separate issue. This is not tied to the other issues that you're tying it in with. So the idea is, well, Muslims are a minority and they're a victim in America, so therefore we should walk on eggshells around them. But, okay, again, when discussing the things I just laid out for you, yeah, it makes sense to talk about how they're oppressed, because it's true that they're oppressed. But when talking about the Charlie Hebdo cartoon attack, that's a different conversation, and that's not one in which the Muslims involved in that, the fundamentalist Muslims involved in that, were oppressed. They were not oppressed. They were the oppressors. They were the people who shot the cartoonists. The fundamentalist Islamic terrorists shot the cartoonists dead, and the cartoonists were the victims. They drew a cartoon and they were killed for it because fundamentalist Muslims did not like the cartoon. You have set up a double standard now where you truly do believe that criticizing Muslims in any way is a form of bigotry. But how is it a form of bigotry when you're criticizing the people who did the Charlie Hebdo attack? It's not a form of bigotry. In fact, it would be bigotry to not criticize them. Because what you're saying is, well, you know, we're going to be quiet about this, and we're not even going to come out on the side of the people who were murdered who were expressing free speech. Well, then you're not standing up for free speech. And again, the thing is, if you look at the situation with Catholics, they have no problem. They're like, okay, yeah, run the cartoon. Fuck it. I don't care if they're offended. Fuck off, Catholics. Who gives a shit? Free country, free world, shut the fuck up. That's the right response. By the same token, you do the same thing with the Charlie Hebdo cartoon. The best response to that is for everybody to run that cartoon. Why? Because they can't get us all. They can't get us all. But when people self-censor, you're letting them win. And by the way, it's condescending to the Muslim world because what you're saying is, well, these guys are more extreme, so don't run the cartoon because they're more extreme. You know how they'll react. I don't have that condescending view of the Muslim world. See, I understand there are moderate Muslims out there, and if you run the cartoon, the moderate Muslims are not going to get angry. You want to know why? Because by definition, you're only moderate if you're not angered by a fucking cartoon. That should be obvious. You're the ones that are condescending to the Muslim world. You're the ones that are looking down at them and saying, they can't handle it, don't do it. They can fucking handle it, and they're going to take our side because we're just standing up for freedom of expression and freedom of speech. It's really that simple. No, it really drives me crazy because the people who should be most willing to stand up and argue in favor of freedom of speech, liberals, in some ways are cowering. We covered it also, what was it, a Katy Perry music video or some shit. There was an Islamic necklace that was in there. Some people were... some liberals were really angry that the video offended Muslims because there was a necklace that had a symbol that you shouldn't show in Islam. Instead of saying, wait a second, draw a parallel here. If this was Pat Robertson getting angry that in a music video somebody made fun of Jesus, what would the response of the left be? You fucking idiot, sit down and shut the fuck up. We don't care. We don't care that you're offended. It's a free world. It's a free country. Of course we should let that music video go, and there's no problem with it whatsoever. But you got to walk on eggshells when it's Islam, because in America, Muslims are oppressed. And again, I want to be clear about that. It is true. It is true that they're oppressed. But these are separate issues. If you want to say, hey, stop the wars overseas, stop killing innocent Muslims, I'm 100% with you. If you want to say, hey, stop the NSA spying on innocent Muslims, I'm 100% with you. Hey, let's try to lower the hate crime rate against Muslims, I'm 100% with you. Hey, let's try to stop right-wing bigotry against Muslims in America, I'm 100% with you. But I'm not with you when you say, don't run the Charlie Hebdo cartoon because I don't want to piss anybody off. No. That's where you are acquiescing to the bullies, okay? It would be the same thing as if you didn't run the condom Pope picture because, oh, we might offend the Catholics. Let's bow our heads. Well, that's not the liberal thing to do. That's the bitch thing to do. That's the coward thing to do. That's the pussy thing to do. That's you not standing up for liberal values. Okay. All right, let me try to squeeze in one or two more here. An Islamic court in northern Nigeria has sentenced 9 people to death for insulting Muhammad. The accused, who were all Muslims, had allegedly pleaded guilty. The trial was quickly done in secret after a section of the court was burned down by angry protesters last month. Remember, not protesters who were mad that they were arrested and that they were considering the death penalty, mad because they weren't already dead. They were mad because these people insulted the prophet, and why are they not already dead? Kill them now. We're going to burn shit down, and we're doing that because we want you to kill them now. So supposedly 9 Sufi Muslims said about their leader that Niasi, who is the leader, was bigger than Prophet Muhammad. Again, I want to stress that it's allegedly, because that seems like a weird thing. What, all 9 of them came forward and said it, and why? Why did they say it? Were they told to say it? No, they weren't told to say it. Allegedly, they just said it. This might be over something else, or it might not be over something else. But either way, allegedly they said, oh, our leader was bigger than the Prophet Muhammad. This, of course, led to outrage. The BBC said that people celebrated in some parts of the city when the judgment emerged. Now, I want you to keep something in mind here. Sufi Muslims, okay, this is a very, broadly speaking, moderate strain of Islam, where it's more based on, like, mysticism and spiritualism and, like, your own internal struggle and coming to God. The idea kind of is like the other interpretation of jihad. Some say it's a holy war. Others say, no, it's an internal, you know, fight or attempt to try to get closer to God or master one's emotions or however you want to phrase it. So the Sufis are very moderate. So when they say something like, hey, our leader, oh, he's bigger than Muhammad, right? It's not meant to offend. It's not meant to be a fucked up thing. It's just these guys saying our leader who had taught us more or whatever, we view as bigger than the prophet. Well, that didn't stand among the radical Muslims in the region, and we all know how it ends. Look, man, again, I hate to keep hammering away at the same points, but this is why religion is so dangerous. Because there's a group of people there who are, because of their own dogmatic ideology and belief system, they are convinced that these other Muslims are not Muslim enough because they don't have the exact same interpretation of Islam, and how dare you insult the prophet, we're going to kill you. Remember, they still believe in Muhammad, but they just said that, hey, our other spiritual leader we view is bigger than the prophet Muhammad. Couldn't have it, must kill him immediately. You cannot have such dogmatic, rigid, and factually incorrect beliefs and expect other people to respect those beliefs. Those beliefs are not worthy of respect. Those beliefs are insane. Those beliefs are out of this world fucking crazy and mind-numbingly stupid. Okay? You can't have to think about having religious courts in place that uphold religious law. Nothing could be more immoral than that. Because what you're not getting laws based on reason, rationality, intelligence, democracy. You're not getting laws that anybody else would view as sane laws. What you're getting is a bunch of laws that are based on metaphysical horseshit. You're getting a bunch of laws that are based off somebody's interpretation of their own religion, and oftentimes it's the worst possible interpretation. We need to change it, we need to reform it, and people need to stand up against this kind of ideology and side with the Sufi Muslims, because they're the more tolerant ones and they're the more open-minded ones. Okay. I'm out of time, guys. I love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.